Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
Unmuted. There's something about God being immutable, isn't there? But that's a long word. I don't know. Who knows? And I can't wait to see people on the streets with their radios and tutus. I wasn't the only one that spotted that. He said, you get your own uniform and you go out in a tutu and a radio. That's what he said, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought so. Yes. Well, they are street angels, after all. It's going to be good.
I can't wait to see you in them.
I need a 3-3. But, but it's... They're going to be queuing up now, aren't they? Oh, boy, it's going to be good. Hey. Hey, while you're looking up Guinness chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and I just want to read something out from the book of Exodus. And there's a great bit in Exodus where Moses has been working alongside God for ages, doing loads of stuff, and actually just says, Lord, I want to actually see you. And God is kind of like, I'd love you to see me too, but the thing is, I'm so awesome, and my glory is so incredible, that if you saw me, you'd look like one of those people out of an Indiana Jones film, and you just, and you know, that's not quite what it says in the Hebrew, but you get the picture. And so he says, I'll tell you what I'll do, is I will go past you, I'll hide you in a rock, and you get to see the back of me. And also I'll declare my name as I go past you. And this is great because he does this, and while he's going past, he says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. I mean, whoa. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. And those of you that know like Hebrew writing, if they say something twice, it kind of really, really happened. It was like, he didn't just go past. I mean, he went past. Yeah? And as he's going past, the Lord, he's shouting, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding, I love that word, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I mean, who thought that was all the same thing? Well, if you didn't, he gets all three. And I know some of you walk around, one or two of you walk around going, I've did this once and God will never forgive me of that. Well, in his very name, it says that he'll forgive transgression and iniquity and sin. So if you've done it, he's got it covered. All right, he forgives it. Okay, but then he goes on to say, by no means clearing the guilty. Which is a bit confusing because aren't we all guilty? But because of the blood of Jesus, he's cleared us. Okay, so you only remain guilty if you ignore the blood of Jesus. Get into the blood of Jesus, not literally, but yes, totally into the blood of Jesus. And this is his name. His very name. It's so long, it's like one of these Libyan terrorist names. They're really long, aren't they? And it's a bit like one of those. But it's the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. What a name. Well, you'd have to extend the baptism service, wouldn't you, to get it all in? But it's an incredible, awesome name. And when you start thinking about the very name of God, right in the middle of the Old Testament, or beginning of the Old Testament, the name of God is awesome. Your God is this. And when he revealed himself to somebody, he said, look, this is actually what I'm really like. Don't listen to the papers, Moses. Don't listen to the gossips and the Dawkins disciples and all that lot. Actually, this is what I'm really like. I am good. Yes, with a capital G, yes, and a capital UD. I am See, my English is really great, isn't it? But anyway, wow, what a name. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, I just want to read a little passage here, a few verses for you to get a hold of this. There's just something God showed me recently. I just want to try and see if I can just get this over. It's one of those things that God spoke to my heart. So I'm just praying that there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the place. I know you have the power to understand the height and the depth and the width and the length of the love of God. So you've got the anointing in you. So actually, it doesn't matter if I'm anointed or not, actually. You've all got anointing. So the Holy Spirit can teach you. And I'll just talk about tutus. Desmond. Right. Then the Lord God said, verse 22, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life." This is New King James I'm reading, but actually it's only the third chapter in, and they haven't quite got the modernization of the English right yet. They're just working on it. But it says, "And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim angels at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." And this kind of sounds like, well, okay, man's blown it, you know the story. Whatever you do, you've got all of this incredible stuff all in front of you. Whatever you do, don't touch this one thing. And of course, true to form, gets touched. And then what happens is that mankind now knows the difference between good and evil. Before this point, they just lived not knowing that and just living from the life of God, in the fellowship of God. That's how it was meant to be in the first place, wasn't it? That we lived in this incredible fellowship with God. And God had been up in heaven, or wherever. It wasn't up then, because there wasn't a down here at the time. But he was in heaven, living with all these angels that were serving him. And he had no one that was like him to fellowship with. And he himself was free, but he had no one that he could just walk with and share his heart with and to live with. And so he made an earth, he made a physical universe, and he made, because they couldn't be spiritual, because then there'd be angels like here, like, you know. So he made this physical earth, he made all the universe and all those things. And he made all the animals and all this, everything ready to eventually put man in place. And at last, there is someone like us in our image. Wow. And they walked together in a way, and everything was provided for. He had right standing with God. He lived by faith, you see, because he just believed God, because God was just there, really in his face. And they just lived together and had an awesome time until they ate the fruit. And then they knew the difference between good and evil. It wasn't the tree of good and evil. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's really important, because actually, if you start to make a list of what is good and what is evil, what you've got is a law. You've got the law, haven't you? And actually, God never intended us to live by law, or to live under law. He wanted us to live by drawing life from fellowship with him. And so, straight in the garden, the first thing that happened was that he came to live by law. It was his first choice. How easy it is, actually, for us all to get under that sort of religious law, rather than living in that way. So then, God sees this, he comes in and finds Adam. He's suddenly aware of nakedness, because before that he was clothed in glory, and he's suddenly aware of nakedness. So he clothes himself, and then he actually says, well, if they're going to live under law and then they touch the tree of life, they're going to live forever under law. That would be awful. I mean, you can see when people start making religious laws how in knots they get tied. You see in the last 10 years or so, 20 years in this country, there are more and more laws being enacted. Because if it moves, make a law about it. There's something in the human heart about making a law. One of the things that drives me mad is that poor lad that got shot in Liverpool. He got shot by a teenager with a gun and a bullet, and it hit him and killed him, and that's illegal. So the human response is to make another law to make it more illegal. I mean, what's that about? But it's just something in us, isn't it? But God has compassion, and he works on another level completely. And his love for us is so great. And what he actually did, because he could see that if we had to live under that madness for thousands of years without dying, we would be in absolute turmoil. And it was actually out of his love for us that he put us out of the very thing that he created us for, to go and work. Now, this is an amazing thing, because God had been looking forward to this. God is love. He cannot help but love. He is the very essence of real, pure, proactive love. And he created man so that he was able to pour that love onto somebody. In a sense, it's almost like he couldn't be himself until he'd created man, in a sense, because he then had to be able to love. And so he created us for this incredible love. And he was so excited. He did everything each day, and oh, that's great. That's good. That's just excellent. You know, everything, oh, this is great. And I think in his heart, he knew, obviously, that by day six, he was going to put man in his image. And he looked at it and thought, oh, I love that. Yes. Look at that big, great cat. That's amazing. Look at that tree I did. He's going to love that. He's going to have kids, and they're going to swing on it, and they're going to, you know, he's really excited. And he's just, it's great. What I've produced for man. And then within, maybe in a few months, it may have been a few years, we don't know, but within a period of time, he actually chose to give that up to protect us from ourselves. And he put us out of that incredible provision and place of relationship. He put us out of that so that we would not fall even more and get wrapped up and harmed. I mean, for the next period of time, actually, we were living for a long time. But then, even that, man took that and went all over the place with it. And so he cut off the maximum limit, really, to about 120 years, because he realized he could show us. He knew already, but he had to show us, because we don't learn generally by being preached at. We generally learn by experience. And then we think, oh, I remember someone said that at the front once. You know, dole. Again, that's a good word, that, isn't it? But this is how we learn. And there's that expression, we live and learn. Well, we live. No, we do learn, don't we? But eventually, usually. But actually, he showed us that actually, even if we lived a long time, we would get into so much mess. So he cut it short. That was mercy. That was mercy. We see some of the depravity around us today, and you meet certain people with certain backgrounds, and they're talking about what they get up to, and it's just horrific. But you can imagine there's no limitation, and there's years and years to get deeper into stuff. I don't want you to imagine it, but just think, actually, the mess that was around by the time Noah showed up was actually humongous. And again, it was mercy. But can you imagine what it did to the heart of God? To actually, for our benefit, slacken that relationship he had with us. And it just struck me as awesome, the love that God has for us. We often look at what he has done for us, but what about what he's sort of stepped back from? I mean, people got in such a mess that he actually says, right, you want to live by law, I'm going to give you a whole load of religious laws and see how you get on with those. And not well. Because what happens with that, with those laws, what you can and can't do and how to be a better Christian and all those sort of things, actually, it makes you want to do the things wrong more. And it says that in Romans, doesn't it? That actually the law inflames your passions and actually makes you... And I've come across people that have been really against certain types of sin and have ended up falling for that type of sin. Because something about enforcing law and stuff like that, rather than the relationship that does us actually, does us in. But God's love for us. I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be great today, I wanted to just talk a bit about the love of God. It'd be great if we could sing, "Here is love, vast as the ocean." And I didn't contact Steve or anything like that. But what a hymn. Yeah. If you stood by the ocean and seen how vast some of it is. And I was doing that down in Cornwall, because this is the sea here. Down in Cornwall you have the ocean, the Atlantic. And you stand there, and what you've got anywhere on the sea, you've got nothing but waves coming in, relentless, coming in off this vast ocean, nothing but waves and waves and waves. And this is the Father's love for you. This is the Father's love. It's incredible, incredible love that He has. And am I connecting? You're very quiet. Very, very quiet. Am I being a bit deep? You know. Yeah. Now, if I want to be apostolic, I need to say hello. Don't I? Hello. Oh, well.
Just listen.
Ah, praise God. That God, in His love and His mercy, actually stood back from us and put Himself out for the sake of His creation, His children. It's an incredible thought. And it just got me thinking about different things. And even though, you know, the bit between the Testaments, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was 400 years, it says there was no revelation. The beginning of the book of Samuel, it says there wasn't much revelation. What that means is God wasn't speaking because no one was listening. I've been a Christian 8 years before anyone had ever told me that God actually spoke to us. Can you imagine that? But that's just the churches I was in and stuff, you know, and what they taught. And I said to God one day when I'd learned this, I said, "Why haven't you been speaking to me all this time?" He says, "I have. You just haven't been listening." Okay. But can you imagine a God who wants relationship with us? He wants to communicate and love us and bless us and all these things. And yet He stands back for our sake. And that 400 years, I know in heaven there's no time, but there's all these people He'd love to, and none of them stopped to listen and to say, "Well, we've got this Old Testament stuff going on, we've got these prophets and all this." What's, you know, no one. For 400 years. It must have been awful. Yeah. So, right, I'm going to send the Messiah now. We're going for it big time now. Yes. We really are. Because His love for us is so great that He can't hold Himself back. He just can't hold Himself back. That was great earlier. When, you know, God's speaking to us. Yeah. You know, and sometimes our eyes are open. All, you know, all different things. But no, God is desperate almost to speak to you and to grow you. He's put His anointing inside of you so that He can teach you. Yes. He's written His law and His word on our heart that we might not sin against Him. Not written it in our head, He's written it on our heart. That as we live with Him and move with Him, I just want to stretch your thinking a little bit, because it's great to stretch out, but sometimes if we stretch up, it helps us stretch out more. Okay, you know? And actually, if we're doubting God's love and we're doubting these things, actually, it's harder, isn't it? Can we just... I don't need to turn to it. Can you turn to Romans 5? There's some awesome verses here that I just want to share with you that are great. I'm going to start reading anyway. But Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we know Christ did not die for the godly. He didn't die for the religious, although he set some of them free too. But he came actually for the sinners, the people who had turned their backs on God and didn't give a monkey's about there being a God or whatever, thought there might be. I look at the time that Jesus came and it was so like today. It really was, with attitudes and religious ideas and stuff and all the different ideas coming in from all over the place. It's incredible similarities. And while we were still sinners, while we still had our backs turned to us, he gave that ultimate sacrifice. You think maybe once we turned to him and we were all following him, then right, I'm now going to demonstrate, because you responded to me, I'm now going to demonstrate how much I love you. But not our God, no, because he loves us too much and he can't wait for that. He wants to deal with it, right, I'm going to love you while you're still not with me. Yes. I'm going to show you the love that I have for you. It's incredible stuff, really is. Much, I love these three words. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, the anger from him. You know, if Jesus is going to die for us, God is going to do that sacrifice because of his love for us, how much more are we going to be saved from the wrath and the anger of God? God's not angry anymore at you guys. Okay, he's not angry because he poured his anger out actually onto Jesus. We deserve God to be angry at us. We really do. Anything that we think God is thinking about us, we probably deserve to think that. Except that it's now been washed away. We have been justified. When you came to Christ, you had been justified. What did they say? Justified, never sinned. Huh. You know, we remember our sins much more than God does. Because when God looks at us, he sees Jesus on that cross. He sees Jesus resurrected in all his glory. That's when we come approaching him, that's who he sees. Because that's the big divine exchange that happened. And it's just as if I'd never sinned. I am justified. It's not because I'm religious or because my arms get a little bit higher each week and I sometimes jump nearly in the worship. It's not because when I'm having my quiet time, I have a special spiritual ephod attached to a tutu. No, nothing to do with that. It's all to do with the blood of Jesus and what he has done out of his love for you. We can stand. Actually, it says, having done all, stand. But you've got to jump a bit, haven't you, really? You know, because it's so good. Yes. One or two of you here, I think, might be saved. Because it's such good news. Yes. You look so happy. Yes. Praise God. You're just looking at me in a tutu now, aren't you? Ruined it now. For if... when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Amen. I mean, this is just going to... one or two of you might even twitch a bit now because... because, wow. If when we were so far away from God... hated God, maybe some of us used his name as a swear word, all these different things that people do, and our backs firmly facing the other way. If then he did that much, showed his love so much that he brought us back to himself, how much more are we going to be saved? And remember what the word saved means. Healed. Set free, yes. Made whole, yes. You know, delivered. Yes. I tried to deliver somebody once. I couldn't get the head through the letterbox. How much more then? how much more will you be healed? If now you are a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of the Father, if you are now standing justified, you are now reconciled to God, you have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, you are now have right standing in front of Him, how much more are you going to get healed? Are you going to get made whole? Is your salvation going to be made complete? How much more than before? Is there an answer to this question? There's like grades of salvation almost, but not like technical things like I'm blue belt saved now. You know, oh, I'm a black belt saved. No, it's not like that. But there is a depth and a richness and a growth. The aim of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Not just our spirits, they're saved, but our souls. There's healing, the wholeness. That's the focus of our faith. It's, you know, that's what it says in end of Hebrews 10. Because most people think the faith chapter starts at the beginning of Hebrews 11. It actually starts a bit earlier than that. But check that out sometime on your own time, because I'm talking. Thank you. And much more then. You see, the mercy of God takes us out of the negative. And so much of my Christian life and churches I've been in, that's great news in itself.
That's right.
To be rescued from what we were going to have for eternity. And God was never going to send us there. We chose to go. Because God says to us, this day I lay before you a choice, life or death. Blessing or cursing. That choice is before us every day. And if we've never made that first choice, then it's our choice to go away from heaven to the nasty place that we don't like to talk about. That God never set up for man. Man was never supposed to be in hell. Only demons were supposed to be in hell. But He subverted us. And He has caused many, the devil has caused many to be there. But I tell you what, our God is a good God. And He sent a good Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us so that we can be reconciled to Him, that we can be made whole. How much more? It's like the mercy. A lot of people go around and they think, well, if I sin and I do this and I do that, God will still love me. And you know it's true, because God is merciful. But people think that's living by grace, and it's not. That's just living merely in the mercy of God and pushing His mercy.
Yes.
But He's patient. But it's pushing His mercy. And yet the grace of God is empowering us and pushing us and compelling us into a whole life that is just awesome.
Yes.
So, you know, okay, it's good to be saved. And it's good. People are miserable when they have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Either get your foot out of the kingdom or get your foot out of the world. But don't keep them one in both. Yeah. It's the most miserable place to be. And preferably get your foot out of the world and into the kingdom. Yes. Qualify myself. And but you see, it's great. The mercy is great and it's awesome. But much more. You know, Jesus died for me. He saved me. Great. But He also rose from the grave. If you like, He test drove what He was announcing and it worked. And He came straight out the grave, no problem, and ascended into heaven. How much more then is salvation available today? If you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you don't know Him, then I suggest you get to know Him. I suggest. You think, well, hang on, what's all this about? Well, if you're not sure, go to an Alpha course and enjoy some incredible food in a nice coffee shop. I mean, what can you lose? You can gain a few pounds, but what can... but what can you lose? But I tell you what, some of you have been prayed for healing in here and you haven't quite got the manifestation. And maybe you're thinking, well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that. No. The blood of Jesus has purchased it for you.
That's right.
You are worth it now. You have right standing with the Father in heaven. But don't get me started on righteousness, because you'll be here till tea time. But we've got that right standing. We've got just as much right to stand before the Father as Jesus has. Yes. Because of what Jesus did for us. So I'm starting on it now. I better move on. But look, it's good news. And so when you stand before God for healing, whether it be physical or something inside, mental or emotional, that healing is yours. Yes. It's been prayed for. It's been paid for, sorry. It's been prayed for. It's yours. Yes. Hallelujah. How much more? If you manage to believe Jesus has saved you, how much more can you be healed?
Amen.
How much more can you be set free?
Yes.
How much more can you be delivered? Whether or not your head fits through the letterbox, how much more can you be made whole? Much, much more. Yeah? Hey, we've got some nodding going on. Hallelujah. I haven't got the tissue. That's what it is. I need the cloth. There you go. I just wonder, anybody here need healing today? Anybody here need healing today? Absolutely no one. That's fantastic. You do. No one wants to put their hand up. You know, there was a survey done years ago in America asking people what their greatest fear was. And more people actually wrote down their biggest fear. The highest on the thing was being pointed out in public. And the second was death, which actually technically means that more people would rather die than be made to stand up in public. So let's all stand up, because I believe God wants to do some stuff here right now. How much more does God want to touch you right now? Let's just start thanking Jesus that I've been reconciled. Thank the Father that his love for me is so great. Thank him right now that I have been purchased with a price. Hallelujah. Thank him right now that you've been reconciled, you've been brought back. It's justified as if you had never, ever sinned. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. It's just as if you never, ever sinned. You are so clean and white before God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And right now, I am wanting to receive something of your grace and mercy right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm off to my hallelujahs again. So last time I spoke, I said hallelujah more times than the rest of the history of the world put together. It is. I mean, hallelujah is a good word to say, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, we don't want to be religious now, do we? Come on. Let's just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you are great. You are good. You're mighty. The way you have loved me is just so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need a breakthrough today, if you need a breakthrough, whether it's healing, it is healing for a few people, but you may need another breakthrough in another way. I just want you to stick your hand up and people are going to come and pray for you, okay? So if you need a breakthrough today, just stick your hand up and people are going to come and just pray over you, okay? There's a few people. Yeah, a few people. I'm sure there's some healing needed. I'm sure there's some freedom needs coming. Hallelujah, that's great. Those of you who have a quick look around, go to someone near you. There's actually a crowd over here, so some people may need to move. But let's just come and pray. Remember what we're doing at the moment. We are declaring a thing, and it will be. So you're going quiet now. Come on, you've got the love of God inside of you, shed abroad in your heart. Amen. Come and love somebody in the church now. And just go and pray for somebody. There's a few over there and a few here. Just go and pray, please. After three then. One, two, three. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay.
Okay, let's have some two lovely ladies at the back. Look, there's Anne and Lena. Can members of the church here go and pray with them? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ask them what they want Jesus to do for them and then declare over their lives what God is going to do. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. God is good. Amen. Just declare it over them. It's a word that God has been speaking to us during the week, this declaring. Maybe I'll talk to you more about it next Sunday for those of you that have not been around during the week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Some of you guys praying, you're not declaring. You're doing soft whispered little requests. Declare over them. Speak out. Don't just whisper it. You can speak out. Speak with authority. If you whisper at a naughty child, they'll ignore you. If there's a wrong spiritual source of what you're praying for and you're whispering, you're probably, not necessarily, but you're probably not praying with authority. Okay, let's stop praying. Everyone stop praying. Because you haven't responded to what I just said. And therefore, if the Lord's telling me to tell you something and you're all carrying, oh, yes, Lord, yes. And the Lord's saying, declare. A declaration doesn't actually take very long. What you're praying, I'm not criticizing, but what the normal thing to do is to mutter a little bit and hope that God does something with a bit of faith. I want you to just say, this is what God's doing in your life now. I release it. And I want you need to speak with authority. All right, because when you're speaking with authority, you're activating faith. All right? And we don't want to go on the way we've been before. We're stepping up into what God has got for us. Okay? And I want you to raise your voice a little bit. All right? Don't worry about other people hearing you. That's fine. If it's a very personal thing and you can't say what it is, well, that's different. All right? You don't need to, you know, come out that sexual spirit that's in you. You don't need to do that. Okay? But if you can do it, do it. You know, and I'm not talking about shouting, but I'm talking about speaking with authority. Okay? There's a tone in your voice, isn't there, when you speak with authority. And that's what we need to do, otherwise we're wimpy. Wimpy weak lettuce leave Christians, eh? Don't worry, private joke. Anyway, right, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to pray with authority and declare over that person. Are you ready? Go. Eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And everybody said, Amen. Didn't Jesus say you won't be heard for your many words? Amen. That was a good preach, that, Chris. Yeah. Amen. I thought, actually, he was a very brave man. I've never heard a preacher encourage, you know, when you're speaking, I've never heard the preacher to encourage the congregation to be asking, how much more, before. I've got to get you back for the two twos. Just in case anybody really is worried, it's two pairs. And I'll make sure I say that in future. Hallelujah. God is good. Enjoy.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.